Welcome to the North and South of Things podcast, a show dedicated to discussion of topics important to the LGBT community and the community at large. Here are your hosts, Mark and George. Hey, kids, welcome back to the North and South of Things. This is George in Atlanta, and I'm joined by my good friend, Mark, in St. Paul. Mark, how are you?
I am well. It's finally spring here. It was warm enough for me to enjoy an iced coffee this afternoon.
Like, is that with a parka or without?
It's without a parka. As a matter of fact, I had a dentist appointment earlier today, and I left the house without a jacket. Mm-mm.
That's just crazy talk.
I know.
Well, it is mid-May, right?
It is. It's been very cool, cooler than normal.
Well, we're happy to move spring along. All right, kids. So you know that on our little shoe, we have historically been a show that talks about sort of a single topic for the entire 30 minutes. And by 30 minutes, I mean whatever time we can approximate near 30 minutes. So I've been fascinated to listen to all the various Pride 48 podcast and others that I listen to, and kind of ponder on how they create their topics. And I mean, Mark and I still have a list of what, Mark, 20 other topics we want to talk about.
I think at least that amount.
At least that. But I'm always interested in sort of like how do they come up with those topics? I mean, some shows have like regular recurring little bits. I don't mean that to sound like derogatory. I mean, it's like regular recurring skits or, you know, segments. Big Fatty does that. Auntie Vera Charles does that. Mm-hmm. Scott the Satyr does that. DI Plus does that. Excuse me, Dubious Intent does that. A lot of shows do sort of regular recurring bits. And then some just sort of like turn on the mic, compress record, and it's sort of the days of their lives. <You
know? laughs> That's true.
And some just have fart jokes.
And it's very interesting, and they do say that there is an app for everything, and I think we found one, and this evening we're going to be using that app as kind of Russian roulette.
that's such a great name. They should have like topic roulette or something. Yeah,
that's right. And actually, this is the app that I used, George, when I was preparing my 20 questions episode with you.
No way! Seriously, we're not going to tell the kids the name of this app right now.
You're going to have to stay tuned until the end of the episode where we'll have our big reveal.
It's very exciting. Right. I know. Control yourself, please. All right. So the app is kind of cool. You can choose like who you're talking to. So I'm going to choose. I am currently talking with anyone, girlfriend, spouse, husband, friend. I'm going to choose friend. And then I want to talk about, Mark, I'm going to let you choose what you want to talk about. So listen to this long list and you tell me which one you want to talk about. All right, ready?
Okay.
All right. Anything, attraction, beliefs, books, career, casual, children, don't choose children, communicating, family, don't choose family, food, sorry, friends, future, games, health, home, humor, learning, love, money, movies, music, past, personality, relationships, spirituality, sex, television, vacation, wedding, and work.
Let's go with communicating because that's kind of what we're doing. We're just having a conversation.
I love it. And here we go. Bloop, 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 bloop. All right, Mark. So what is the best way to persuade somebody?
Well, George, I don't know if you know this about me, but I've actually had a sales background.
I did not choose this question on purpose.
I think the best way to persuade someone is you really have to appeal to the other person. You have to get them on board. I think a really good example is our current political climate and our presidential candidates who are out there are trying to appeal and they're trying to persuade their base to vote for them. And I think that's a really good example. The best way to do that, I think, is to appeal to their values and their beliefs, but also, you know, especially if you're going to ask them for something, you know, we're human beings. We live in a Western culture, and a lot of it comes down to what is in it for me.
I love that. So I'm thinking about something I had to write recently for my organization, and it was about how we select partners, and especially when it comes to financial partners for real estate deals. And so we're a nonprofit, so it was about specifically how we work with the for-profit sector. And the CEO was very specific about saying, which I learned a lot from, and I thought, you know, it's kind of obvious, but it's kind of brilliant. And that is, if you want to do a deal with somebody, you have to walk in their shoes, and you have to know what their incentives are. You have to know what their goals are, what their objectives are, and you have to be willing to let them achieve those things. So it's not just about your selfish needs. In this partnership, I need blah, 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 blah. You need to cross that line and understand what the other people are willing to do and what the risks are and what risks they're willing to take, and then what risk are you, you know? So I think you're right. I think it's about appealing to that other side, and you can't do that without being on that other side. And as we say this, I'm realizing that we're approaching politics 100% wrong. So we're done with the show, kids. Thank you for joining us. I'm sorry.
I think that was a mic drop right there.
Thank you. All right, your turn.
Okay. You know what, George? I'm going to set the app, for I am currently with my friend, and I want to talk about anything, and I'm going to press the button, and here we go.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
All right, George, the question is it difficult for you to find compromises on things?
Wow, how appropriate is that question, given what we just talked about?
It's uncanny.
I'm going to say yes, because it was a... I think overall, yes. It didn't used to be that way. I used to be, you know, Mr. Want to Please Everybody and compromise, whether it was work or personal. And so compromise just came naturally, you know, because it was honestly about you wanted to make people laugh, you wanted to make people happy, you wanted to keep people as friends, you wanted to do, and that got tired real quick in, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And when you grow and you learn and you become a little, you know, cagey, a little set in your ways, a little whatever, a little inflexible. But the simple fact is, in business, you may sort of feel the need to be that way in life, and you probably shouldn't be, frankly. But sometimes in business, there's a compelling reason why you think you need to be that way. But in reality, it is important to understand compromise. Wow, these are all like...
deep questions.
I know, it's crazy. All right. Oh, wait. All right. Is that good?
I think it's good. I think another thing that I seem to have experienced through my life is that, you know, especially in our culture now, there seems to be a real abhorrence of compromise. And I think that is really causing a lot of the gridlock that we have in our culture.
Yeah,
it's people are not willing to give an inch.
I just, you know, the old George, I had put him under a rug and tried to be more amenable on Facebook and social media about politics. And somebody just crossed the line, and I just sort of threw them under the bus just 2 days ago. And so I feel like I have to go back to therapy now and do this all over again. It was a libertarian, basically, you know, posting something that neither party is worth a shit and blah, 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 and libertarian all the way. And his post also included that, like, government is worthless. Name me one thing government's actually ever done that has their hand. Name one thing the government has their hand in that they've ever done properly. And I'm just like, you know, first of all, I'm not sure why you friended me. I'm vehemently anti-libertarian because I don't think you people have a fucking plan. And I just don't think government is bad is a good, is a plan. And I'm just like, I just called him on it. I'm just like, bullshit, dude. You know,
yeah, it's difficult, you know, especially in social media. I know personally, I've taken a big step back from Facebook. As a matter of fact, it's been several days since I've actually logged on, and I'm not really intending to because the signal to noise ratio is just it's too much.
It is too much, but you know what? You are much, much more capable and much more able to resist the hot buttons and the what's the word I'm looking for? The traps that I seem to like, oh, look, there's a honey jar. Let me step right there and whoop, next thing you know, I'm pulled up in the tree in a net.
I think that's because I've really learned to rein in my temper and my reactions to same.
Do you have a temper?
You know, a lot of people have, you know, I tell them the story of as a child and as a young man, having a horrible temper, and, it came down to the part where my father told me a story. He took me aside. I think I might have been in my late teens or maybe very early 20s. And he told me, he said, you know, Mark, you've got a temper and you need to really get a handle on it. And here's the reason why. I'm just like you. You're my son. Of course, you know, my father was a very patient man, and there was a time where he was not. He also had a temper. Mm. And he told me the story about a friend of his whom he was very close to, and they had an argument, and my father decided, you know, he's going to write him off, you know, not speak to him. And that guy went off to, I believe it was Korea, and he was killed in action. Ugh. And my father never got the chance to reconcile. Mm. And it was at that point where, you know, you really don't regret something that you say out of anger or out of passion, because you might not get the chance, and you know, we all have our regrets.
Yeah.
And that was one of his regrets that he shared with me. And it was only then that I started doing things like meditation and, you know, being able to manage my emotions in a healthy and positive way.
I mean, it must have really worked for you, because I cannot imagine. I can't imagine you mad.
It happens not very often, and I have, you know, in the past have really surprised myself at how angry I can become. And I never want to lose control.
Yeah. Good advice, kids. I'm gonna practice that. I think we need to do an episode on meditation, because I feel like
sure, we can add it to the list.
I feel like I would benefit from that. Yeah. All right. It's your turn. I mean, it's my turn.
Okay.
To ask you. All right. So I'm doing the same thing you did. So I'm talking to my friend. Bloop bloop bloop. And I'm gonna talk about anything. Bloop bloop bloop. Oh, dear. Mark, what was the worst roommate you ever had?
Oh, the worst roommate. Wow.
Have you had roommates before?
I have had roommates. And, you know, I don't think it was the people in question. Mm-hmm. It wasn't them. It was more of a situation. And I was living with two friends of mine, very good friends, who I was close with, and we were all living together. And my friends were married, and I had one of their rooms in their townhome. And their marriage started to go south. And I think one of the worst things about that situation was they had animals. They had a couple of cats, and they had a little scrappy dog by the name of Sadie, who was not just a peach.
Not Sadie. Oh.
Yes, Sadie. And the problem was is when they were fighting... And they were very, one of them was Italian and the other one was like, German. So, yeah.
So first of all, the German people sound like they're fighting when they're just having regular conversation.
Exactly.
As do the Italians with the whole the thumb, the fingers too, the under chin, you know, what's the matter for you? No, just kidding.
So I recall specifically one night where it was quite late and they were arguing at quite a loud decibel, and Sadie came up to my room and came into my room, jumped up on the bed, and she was literally shaking.
Oh.
And I think that probably was the worst kind of roommate situation. And it was kind of at that point where it was like, you know, I care about our friendship. I can't live with you guys anymore. You need to resolve this. And I can't deal with this. Mm. So I ended up moving in with another friend. And that was also, it was one more step onto my own path. The other roommate was a bit of a flake, a nice enough guy, but there came a point where, you know, he just kind of woke up one day and decided he didn't want to have roommates anymore.
Mm.
So I had to scramble and find an apartment, which was my first solo place. Mm-hmm. Which was great, and that was the kind of the most independent living. And then following that is when I bought my house.
Would you ever, not with you being a homeowner, both of you renting or the other person owning the home, would you ever have a roommate again?
If this is a person that I'm involved with in a relationship, yes, that would be it. But if this person is not, you know, connected to me in any romantic or any kind of way that way, I would say absolutely not.
Yeah, I was definitely not talking about anything romantic.
Yeah.
And I'm right with you. I kind of don't ever want to live with anybody again who's not, you know, somebody special.
I think the roommates that I've had have all been, you know, it was fairly... There weren't really awful things happened.
I can't.
I was very lucky.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. It's your question, but I'm going to answer it too. I moved to Atlanta by way of Macon, Georgia. I had a friend who lived in Macon who... I was in Southwest Virginia, and I was ready to come to Atlanta, and I couldn't get a job here. And I realized that it's because you have a Virginia mailing address and nobody is interested in hiring the kinds of work you do, or nobody's going to pay relo, right? relocation. So I had a friend who said, well, why don't you come stay with me in Macon? And that's a little closer and you could, apply to Atlanta jobs from there. And maybe it wouldn't be as stark a difference. And I did that. And then I got a job. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't drive from Macon to Atlanta every day to work. I need to find a place to live. And I, for the first time in my life, I literally picked up the local newspaper and, as it were, the local gay rag. And I was like, roommates. And I found a roommate, somebody who lived on Piedmont Park, lived in a small two-bedroom apartment on Piedmont Park, lesbian, looking for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, perfect. No worries about like sort of weird attachments and whatnot. And I met her at a coffee shop and we talked and hit it off and it went well until she had a bad issue with a bad breakup and kind of went a little on the cuckoo side of things. And I came home one morning and that was my early days in Atlanta, and I was out partying a little bit, and I may have come in just at the break of dawn. Don't quote me on that. And I walked into the apartment, and I got this foul smell of like, oh my God, has the toilet backed up? What the hell is going on? And so I immediately go to the bathroom, and everything is fine there, and I'm like, what is going on? And I... Oh, Lord Jesus. I found in the kitchen trash can, she had taken a dump.
Really? Wow, she had kind of...
She was completely passed out of her mind, on her bed.
Oh,
When I walked in. She had like a bedroom off the living room with French doors, and the French doors are open, and I could see that she was sort of... And I was like, okay, I think we're done here.
Yeah.
And I left after that. So, wow, crazy. Good times, kids. go get yourself a roommate.
Your turn.
All right.
Here we go. All right. Well, this is the question. What do you think of single mothers?
I think they should all be euthanized. No, just kidding. Oh,
we're gonna get hate mail for
I
that.
Know that was a joke, kids. Please send your hate mail to Mark at no, I'm just kidding. Single mothers have it rough, and I don't know that any I would say I shouldn't say any I would say very few people choose to be single mothers who set out to say, woo, I'm gonna have a child on my own, let's rock it out. I do think there's a few people like that. I think there's people who choose to, to carry a child and don't want a husband. And so I'm not going to say everybody, but I think there's the overwhelming majority of single mothers don't exactly plan to be that way. And there's a serious amount of empathy. In some ways, I feel like my mother was a single mother because my dad was absent so much of the time that it didn't really feel like you had a father. And, so I'm sympathetic. I'm empathetic. I worry about those who come from that environment who have seen it generation after generation after generation. They repeat it. I worry that they're not learning from it. I worry that not enough people are learning from it and trying to figure out a different way to do it. And especially in some of the urban settings, but not just urban, in rural settings too. So I'm empathetic. I think they have immediately have it 10 times harder. I think, and I probably need to say those who are not well educated, those who do not have good, economic outlook, I think there are people who there's another strand of that, if you will, which are, single mothers who didn't plan it, didn't want it, but they're, fine, I'll deal with it. And they're in good career paths and have good jobs and can manage it on their own. So I'm more concerned about those who don't have the strong economic outlook. If you choose that, have at it. Go for it. I don't have any problem with that. If that's what you want to do, have at it. If you didn't choose it, but you're capable of managing it and you're strong enough, independent, professional, whatever, congratulations. I'm happy for you. But it's those in that, which I think make up the majority of single mothers. I could be wrong. I worry, you know, that the cycle continues generation after generation. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking back on, you know, what my experience was growing up. And really, you know, everybody had a mom and a dad, with the exception of, you know, in my grandparents, this was, it's a small town about an hour and a half north of St. Paul. It's called Albany, Minnesota. And I remember it's a small community, and it was pretty much divided along religious lines. It was the Catholics versus the Lutherans. And there was a kid that I liked to play with. His name was Joel. And Joel Lemke had, I think, no, it was just him. And his mom was a divorcee. And we're talking in the early 70s here, which really put that family as suspect. Because the father wasn't in the picture. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, the mom. Mm. And, you know, there was another family that I was, you know, good friends with here in Maplewood, where I grew up. And Mrs. Beyer, they had, you know, five kids. And Michael was my friend and he was my peer. But, you know, she was raising the family on her own. But that was because Michael's father had died. Mm. So, you know, there was more sympathy, I think, with that family other than with Joel's, you know, and the other thing is, you know, Joel was Lutheran. So it was like, you shouldn't be playing with that boy.
You got two overlays. You got two overlays there. One is the religious overlay, right? And mm-hmm. and two is the time. Like, it's nowhere near, it's not optimal today. It's nowhere near the scourge on society that it was, you know, back when we grew up.
Yeah, and yeah. Thank heavens it isn't.
Yeah,
interesting. You know?
Interesting. Wow. All right. Whose turn is it?
It is yours.
All right. Here we go. Here we go, kids. All right, bleep, blop, bloop. I am with my friend, and I want to talk about... I'm going to choose a topic for you, just because. Okay. I'm going to choose future. Fine topic. All right, Mark, what is the main goal you have for this year, and what are your top three goals for your lifetime? Wow, that's two questions.
Ooh. My top goal for this year... is
keep it clean, Missy.
My top goal for this year is really to have a very stable and enjoyable work life. As you know, I had a big change last year, and it was an absolutely phenomenal change, and now I've reached a point where I'm comfortable in doing what I'm doing. I have the confidence, you know, I have the skills that I can be able to do the job that I was hired and do it well. And so I want that kind of stability to allow me to kind of pursue two things creatively, which are my writing practice and also artistically, I need to pick up my pencil again and really start drawing like I really want to. So that's my goal for this year.
And then what are the top three goals of your lifetime?
Of my lifetime?
I know, right? That's like... I'd like to live, and I'd like to not die, and I'd like to eat.
Well, I'd like to retire, but I think the traditional idea of what we have as retirement is going to change.
Yep.
I don't want to just sit on my keister. I want to be able to have the time and the means to kind of pursue those things that are important to me. So that's to kind of have that lifestyle, to be able to kind of do those, to have that freedom
mm-hmm.
to make that choice. Love I mean, it. That's one. Gosh, this is a hard one.
It's really hard.
You know, I've learned a lot about myself in owning a home and, you know, looking at that quote unquote American dream that, our culture puts a lot of stock in.
Right.
And
the American dream that I now think is the American nightmare, but go ahead.
Right. Exactly. And so, one of my goals is to really find a place to live that is more me and merges with some of the things that I like to do.
What does that mean? Does that mean you want to live in a condo?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, a condo or a loft or a townhome, simply because of the fact that, you know, as I get older, it's harder for me to, by myself, maintain my home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an older home. It needs a lot of love. And yeah. It's like, it's not that I'm not handy. It's that, you know, there's a lot of the time I just don't have the energy.
Well, it's also it's also expensive. I mean,
like, it's very expensive.
Occasionally people say, my God, how much is your HOA fee? You live in Midtown and, you know, and it's 33 cents a square foot. I have a very small 740 square foot condo. So it's 250, 260, something like that. And, but you know what? That's my internet. That is my pest control. And mm-hmm. I live in a concrete building, so there is no pet. There are no pests. That's my security. You're going to break into my place. You need to get in the secure front door. You need to get into the secure elevator lobby. You need to have the right access to once you're in the elevator, and then you need to get into my door. So you know, there's like all these things that, I think are, I'm clearly pro condo. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
So yeah. And the third one, it would be nice to have a partnership. I don't approach, you know, a relationship as something that it's going to complete me, because I feel as if I'm complete enough. But I think a relationship would enhance and complement my life.
I think
that's kind of it.
I think that's pretty well rounded. And wow, I'm so not going to answer that question, just so you know.
All right, George, we're going to...
It's too deep. Oh. I can't do it.
We're going to do money for you.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I will answer the other question. I'm just kidding.
Here we are. Would you rather live modestly and retire at 50 or live less modestly and retire at 60?
Okay, first of all,
horses
out of the barn. Horses out of the barn on that one, baby. Knowing what I know now, if I could go back, I would try and live more frugally. But honestly, I think it's not just about living frugally, because there's a certain amount of income you have to be able to invest. You know, in a 401k, a or if you're a nonprofit, a 403B. I mean, like, you can be as fucking frugal as you want, but if you, like, there, it's not always possible to invest in retirement programs that are going to securely take care of you from 50 on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that's a valid question.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, we touched on it earlier about, you know, our idea of of retirement changing. My father retired at the age of 55. Wow. He was a public employee in, you know, the school district where we lived, and he had a full pension at the age of 55, which, as you know, pensions are rarer than hen's teeth. And, right. He really didn't have a plan for retirement. And I have to say, his retiring early has probably led more to his early demise than...
Really?
Yeah, because he really didn't have... He had some hobbies and some interests, but to be honest, he was in an unhappy marriage with my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother became the honeydew list keeper, mm-hmm. and they were both deeply unhappy. And so one of the hobbies that my father decided to take up was drinking. Mm-hmm. So, he didn't have a plan.
Right.
And so often you hear these stories of a person working hard, getting to the age of retirement. They retire, they have nothing to do, and then 6 months to a year later, they're diagnosed with some sort of awful terminal illness.
So I'm going to ask you a bizarre question.
Sure.
Is that a different situation today because you could set your fat ass in front of a computer and be on Facebook and Twitter and whatever and, like, interact with people all around the planet? And is that enough? Like, is it a different world that – and I totally know what you mean, because that is the issue, is, like, if you're going to retire super early, you need to retire with enough money to travel – mm-hmm. you know, and go pick up hobbies and do all this kind of stuff. Otherwise, aren't you going to drive yourself crazy? Aren't you going to drive your spouse crazy, your partner crazy? Or are you going to deteriorate into some... Yeah, I mean, I think it's a valid question. Does the internet make it a different question today?
I have some pretty strong opinions on the function of social media. I think human beings are quite naturally... we're social creatures. We need human connection. And we get that by, you know, living within community, you know, sharing meals, having friendships, getting together, going to the movies, doing all of these things. But I think social media doesn't quite make that final connection.
It's not as fulfilling. It's not
right. Yeah. It's more of a false connection rather than a really true connection. Unlike podcasting, you know, even though you're in Atlanta and I'm in St. Paul, we're having a conversation mm-hmm. where we're connecting. Mm-hmm. We've met in real life. We have grown to know each other. We spend a lot of time talking about things and different topics. That's a true connection. Mm-hmm. But when you're just on a screen and you're talking to Babalu635 on Twitter,
yeah, don't bring Babalu. Don't bring Babalu into this place. Yeah, no, I agree. And by the way, I have looked at my potential training travel schedule next year, and I might be in Minneapolis in May.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I know, right? How cool is that?
Anyway. Tack on a couple of days, either before or after.
Exactly. Anyway, sorry. It's like a week training, too, so it might be a festive opportunity.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there because we're over We're out of time. We're over.
We're out of time.
I love this. I think I love this app.
Thanks for doing the little topic roulette here. And for those of you who just really need to know, the app is called Topic Suggest. And you can find it on, for sure, on iOS.
Yeah.
I don't know about you Android people.
It does. It doesn't look like a really sophisticated, you stupid Android bitches. It doesn't look like, we're kidding, of course. I'll probably be there soon because I can't afford this Apple shit. I'm just like, if I don't want to eat ramen noodle in retirement, I need to make some fucking changes. See the earlier conversation we just had. So it doesn't look like a real serious interface. It doesn't look like a real, like they spent a lot of money on it. So
yeah, you could probably find it in Google Play or
yeah. Yeah.
The Android marketplace, whatever they're calling it these days.
What's it called again? Topic Suggest?
Topic Suggest.
All right, cool. We'll leave it there. Mark, until next time.
All right. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
All right, bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The North and South of Things. More information available at northandsouthofthings.com. Follow Mark on Twitter at Laughing Buddha. That's LaughingBuddha. And George at George in Atlanta. Our podcast theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.